This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hi, Place to Be Nation. We're back with another episode of Made the Cut, because you made the cut, and we're back. I'm JT. This is Aaron George from Canada. Aaron, how are you?
Everything excites me.
Everything! How you doing, by the way?
I found out today my cat has cancer.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Probable cancer. We don't know yet, but more than like
I'm not going to start feeling bad yet then.
No, feel bad because the guy was like very much like trying to like I could tell he was hiding something from me, this doctor, this skeezy French doctor from France.
He doesn't have cancer. do you think he's just going to become like a meth cook, your cat?
Yes, obviously.
Okay, I hope
after
so.
The chemo.
Well, I was going to say it's a big couple of days for you because you've been added to like elite groups left and right, but yep. And now I feel bad because of the cat thing. So,
yeah, cancer.
Anyway, what a pussy. All right, so by the way, we took like months off. And now we're doing these like 3 days apart. So how does that make you feel? Better?
Oh, man. Like I said, I'm so excited about everything.
Yes.
Except the cat.
Yeah, even the cat. All right. So last episode, we were here and we talked through number 26 on our cumulative list. So we got only 25 guys left to talk about. It feels like we just started, right? Like last year?
Yeah. Okay. You're 18 months ago and we came up with this idea.
So the last guy we talked about was Sergeant Slaughter. And here, as Dr. Dre and Eminem would say, on the next episode, we're going to try and hack through our top 25 cumulative guys. And that brings us to a very divisive.
Hey!
Burning in your lights! Ooh, the viper.
Is there any absence of malice with this man?
He's crawling in the rug. Randy Orton, if you didn't pick that up, is our number 25 on our list. Let's see. Who had them where?
You had him low, I think.
Yeah. So we're actually on your number 24. So we're almost close to each other. I had him at 55. You had him at 24. The poor man's Triple H to me. I've been told by Ben Morse that I had Triple H too low, even though he thinks my opinions are better than yours.
Well, Ben Morse is also a Marvel guy, and we're arguing about it in the over all kinds of Marvel, DC comic book shit. So
yeah,
I don't know what to think of Ben.
I don't know anymore. Who I like. I love you both so much that I'm torn.
I feel like he's turned his back on me now with these comments. I don't appreciate that one bit.
He you know, he's gone a little dark. I think before he was busier, and now he's got more free time to realize how like actually evil he is. Now he's in the West Coast. He's got more time to stew on things. He's been very, very nasty since moving to Las Vegas.
It changes you, man.
It does. Sin City has brought the worst out of Ben Morse. anyway, speaking of sinful, Randy Orton at 24. Explain that deed.
Okay. All right. So, I don't really like Randy Orton. I'm gonna preface it with this. I just think that Randy Orton is a guy that the more you watch of him, the more you start to appreciate how good he actually is.
Sure.
I was always of the mind, like I'd always hear wrestlers, ex-wrestlers talk about, oh, Randy Orton's the best guy in the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton's this friend. And I never understood it. But the more I've looked back and watched his body of work.
Or just his body, if you're Tim Cable.
His body. Never mind Tim Cable. That guy's body would turn me. Like, that man is a god. Mm-hmm. Tim Cable is a god.
He is.
All right? A god that Ben Morse wants to bring down.
A god that fails. Yes.
where were we? Randy Orton. All right. So listen, I think if you're of the mind, and when I say you, I don't mean you. I might mean Ben Morse and other people. But if you're of the mind, someone like Jake Roberts or Ted DiBiase or someone in that vein maxes out the work rate.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people that would agree to that.
Yeah.
I think there's no way Randy Orton doesn't max out the work rate also. He is.
So you're comparing Jake Roberts character-wise to Randy Orton? Is it just because they're snakes?
It is because they're snakes. I hadn't thought to the character.
Snakes are all the same.
They both smoke crack cocaine.
They're both alleged dicks.
Fucking assholes. well, we didn't talk characters, but I'm just thinking work rate. Right. I don't think there's ever been a crisper wrestler than Randy Orton. And I'm not just talking about his tan, all right? Like, he is so slick in the way he moves around the ring. His moves look tight. Everything looks great. His drop kicks are solid. Even his rest holds, which I don't really love, chin lock Randy Orton. At the very least, though, he looks like he's wrenching it in. Everything he does in the ring, for me, maxes him out at work rate. All right. And then you have to factor in, I think his promo is weak. I don't think he's a very good promo. I think he's kind of a meandering one. But I think there's been times where his character is quite good. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoyed the Legend Killer character early on. I thought that was it was generic, but I think he made it work really well. It meshed well with his arrogance. I like the news update guy. I thought that was fun. His 09, late 08, 09 run, where I really don't enjoy a lot of those matches, but I think his character worked during that time where he was the whatever.
Stalking Triple H's family, basically.
Yeah, whatever that weird disease they said he had once. I have to give him weird mental illness.
Anal fissures.
Did he have the anal fissures?
No, that was McCole, I think, wasn't it? Who had the anal bleeding? Jim Ross? Maybe it was Jim Ross. Someone had the
Jim Ross had anal bleeding. I think if anyone has anal fissures, you have to ask if snakes are involved, because right. They will give you anal fissures, something awful. Mm-hmm. So I think his character work has been very good at times. It's also been very uninspired at times. I do think there's something very interesting in his in the nuance and the intangibles. He does work as both heel as face. He has a connection where he seems to be almost a perpetual main eventer, even if they don't put him in main event spots. Always feels like a big deal. Always gets a good pop. Always somewhat interesting. There's been down periods, but even like when he comes out now, there's something about Randy Orton that screams superstar. And then if we get into his jump up moments, there's a lot. There's a lot more than he tends to get credit for. Just looking at his early career, like something that doesn't get talked about too much is I think he really lent a lot of credibility to the Intercontinental title when he got that belt. It's a belt that had bounced around a lot, and he held it for like a solid 8 months, made it important, brought it up the card. I think that was something interesting there. Like a few years ago, we had done a top five Intercontinental champions of all time. Mm-hmm. I think I considered him towards the back end because – in an era where no one gave a shit about that belt, he made it feel important again.
Right.
Then there's the whole Foley feud, which is excellent. Foley match, which is excellent. He kind of goes through a rough patch with that face turn with Triple H, but the booking sucked, but you got to put some of it on Orton too, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, no, he didn't really deliver. Yeah.
No, but I think he really did deliver in the Undertaker feud. Mm-hmm. I think the match at WrestleMania 21 is great, and I think most of the subsequent matches are quite good. His rated RKO stuff I thought was fun, solid. I even really like his match with Kurt Angle at ECW One Night Stand 06. I think that's a fun thing. I thought he was a good representation of everything that wasn't ECW. And then when we get into like 08, 09, I think that's probably his weakest in-ring era. I find he just kind of like lazes about a little bit. But then when he does that face turn in late 09 into 010, he becomes one of the most over guys in the company, and he feels a little bit rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And so I like his mid-card stuff. I really like the feud with Punk. I like most of his 010. He's got stuff with Sheamus, which I quite enjoy as well. And then 11, he's got that whole Christian feud, which is just excellent. Like probably his best in-ring one-on-one work, which I really dig. And I think people will often give Christian a lot of the credit for that, and he does deserve credit for it, but I don't think in any way he carried Orton to any of those matches. I think Orton was more than capable of his own. And then in the last few years, I mean, like, he's always now been the 1A or the very high B. So like, he's put into good positions. He's usually good for a good match. He's got good matches with Jericho. He had a good match with Reigns at SummerSlam 14. He's got the triple threat with Brian and Batista, which, yes, it's a lot for Brian, but he's a big part of it. And he was hateable enough during that run too. I just think that run is mired with like very slow, boring matches, which I attribute to him, but not only to him. I like the Rollins feud from a couple years ago. And, even his recent like U.S. title stuff, like I thought it was a little bit uninspired at Mania with the four-way. The less said about his 2016, the better, because that was just atrocious with the
and 17, sorry, yeah.
2017, excuse me, with the out of nowhere Rumble win, and then that.
Right, I didn't mind the him and Bray. That was probably my favorite stuff he's done in a while.
As a team,
yeah.
And I love that they won at the Survivor Series. I thought that was so neat that they gave that to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Bray feud is just all-time terrible stuff.
Oh, brutal, yeah.
So, but for me, the thing with Orton is, as much as I have him at 25, to me, that's a disappointment. Because based on his skill set and how good he is and how many opportunities he's had, we should be talking about a top 15 guy. With everything.
Yeah, match. And I think that's why I have him lower. You know, we've talked about guys like Triple H, like Kane, and we'll probably, you know, we'll mention with Undertaker, guys that have had so much time put in, and there's just so, like, you're naming all his highlights, but those years all have 12 months, you know, and he's on, and again, you know, should he be punished more because of the overexposure? No, I mean, I think you have to normalize things a little bit. You know, Will talked about this in the opposite direction, basically saying he values the older days more because of like the 6 year dog age, you know, whatever the hell you're saying. It's like, you know, like 1 year now is like six back then. But I look at it the other way, that guys now are actually at a disadvantage because they have to fill so much extra time and they get overexposed. Now, Randy Orton's a guy that's been pretty much on TV consistently since 2002. So we're talking 15 years, right? So I look at him compared to like a John Cena. It doesn't have John Cena's peaks. And I don't think Cena has as much down as Orton's, all right? So that's why Cena's a top. Whatever.
Well, Cena's down is with Orton.
Right. Okay. So, good. Yeah, I agree. So that's why Cena is, you know, much ahead of him. And then I compare him to like a Triple H, who I think has, you know, the high highs and nearly as many just mediocre, like, in lows. Like, there's stretches of time where Orton's just completely disinterested, not invested, going through the motions. He reads it on his face. He's just a guy that's probably been punished from being around too long in a project like this. Now, monetarily, he's benefited from being around so long. But and he's a guy I like. Like, I'm not an Orton hater. I just don't see him. I don't think his great outweighs the other mediocrity. Like, you mentioned a bunch of stuff that was cool. Like, okay, the news guy. All right, well, that was like a month in like 2002. like, all right, it counts, but you know,
look, I'm reaching for character there.
Correct.
Because like, to me, that's probably his weakest category.
Right. Okay. So I agree. In promos, we're saying he's pretty shit. So for jump up moments, he's got good ones, but then like when you compare him to like a Triple H or whoever else is around that, you know, similar, like long body of work and a lot of mediocreness. Like he's got the Foley stuff and the Christian stuff. And other than that, like what's his real big peak work? Like, so that's two feuds or two series of matches across, you know, 15 years. And he's got other real good ones, but like, what are his real peak moments? And is it DDTing Stephanie, I guess? Like, that's on the list. Like you said, you list a lot, like, my point is you list a lot of like, ironically enough, like B+ level stuff, right? Like all very good things that he's done. And he's got very limited, like great things. And I think that's always been the book on Randy Orton, right? Is that he's got all the tools to be an A guy and just never, he's a top flight prospect that just never like put the tools all together. And he had a very good career, not a great career. So it's 50, whatever, too low. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's more in the 40s, right? But I think 25 is too high given all the opportunity and volume he has. When I look at some of the guys like right in his near vicinity. So I feel like it's a little too high for a guy that is lacking in promo, lacking in character, and goes through years at a time where the crowd doesn't give a shit about him. Now, he'll go through stretches where they fucking love him, like, and that's what gets him, you know, up as high as he is. But he's just a guy that, to me, never rose to that top echelon of WWF star.
I would disagree that the crowd goes through periods of not giving a shit about him. Like, I think he's perpetually over.
I don't know. Like that 14 stretch and everything. I mean, if you want to pin that on Brian, I guess you can, but I mean, you know.
Oh, you're talking about when he was the champ?
That whole stretch in late 13 into early 14 where the crowd was like so sick of him and everything else. I mean, he's had stretches like that before.
Sure, but the only time they ever really shat on him, though, was when they weren't putting him with Brian. Like, in that era. Like, right. They're putting him with Big Show instead of Brian, and Big Show's doing the fucking yes chant. They're putting him with Cena, and it gets booed out of the building, you know? Like,
yeah,
I think that's more of a an indictment of like the continual pairing with Cena than it necessarily is.
Yeah, but he's part of it. If he wasn't in a million fucking feuds with Cena, people wouldn't be sick of him. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. But like, I mean, like for me, like 25 is because as much as you might say his stuff, like I would disagree that some of those moments aren't great. I think a lot of them are. But the people I have behind him for me don't have those moments. That's why I can't put Randy Orton higher, as the people ahead of him do. Like, I don't see that many. Like, I looked at your list just quickly here, and you have him at 51, 55?
Yeah.
Right? You have Goldust at 39.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Goldust is a better character, better worker. I think he's got memorable moments as well. Does he have the top flight matches? No, probably not. But
he has so much down, too. Like, you know, like, and everybody has those things like that.
But he's also got less of it. Like to me, I give credit for volume on the positive, but I also detract from volume on the negative. Like when you have 15 years and if you want to say, I mean, if you add it all up, even if it's 7 and 7, like to me that's a 50, you know, 50%. So right around the middle. Right. I mean, he's got so much volume that you have to factor it all in. And guys like a Goldust or an Owen Hart, like those guys don't have the years put in that Orton had and the opportunities that Orton's had, all the TV matches, all the pay-per-view matches. You know, you're naming, you're picking ones that are real good, but that's not counting all the ones that are just fucking mediocre that are all in there, littered throughout.
Sure, but then say a guy like Goldust has nothing that's nearly that good.
Right, but he also doesn't have the volume of nearly that's bad, and so now I'm looking at him as workers. I think he's a better worker, better character, better promo.
Better character and promo, absolutely, but I don't think he touches him in the other categories. And even better worker, I think it's quite close. Because remember, we delineated work rate from good mm-hmm. matches, right? Yep. And so, like, if you look at both of them in ring and what they do, I think Randy Orton's probably, for me, a better worker than Dustin in the WWF. Because and maybe Goldust has a couple more peaks, but even that, it's like it's really only in the last few years for me, anyway, that Goldust has actually been an interesting worker in ring for them.
Yeah, I don't think I put him above Goldust. I mean, looking at the list, there's a few. You know, I might bump down others like we've talked about Rude, Funk. I know I had too high.
Terry fucking Funk.
Right. But when I look at guys like Perfect, even RVD, like Bulldog, Patterson, Matt Hardy, like those guys are all I'd still have those all above Orton. Owen, Edge, like for me both above Orton. Steamboat, I think is better across the board. Not as much volume, but so I mean like even Reigns, like these guys I prefer to Orton overall. And again, a lot of it comes down to just the stretches of nothing that he had mixed in with the great stuff. So, I mean, I think this has been a continual discussion we've had, right? Has been like you really value the peaks, and I've put credence into, or at least weight into, if a guy's got a lot of volume, what he does with that volume, I factor in. So.
Yeah, so I mean, what I think as the list went on, I realized I didn't weigh the bad to the same level as I did the good.
Yep, which is fine.
Otherwise, a guy like Triple H probably wouldn't make my list.
Right.
You know, because there's as much bad as there is good.
And I don't have them even per se. The excellent stuff. I mean, like Orton, Triple H. Triple H has some, but they don't have like the. You know, if you're giving them 5 stars, they don't have many duds, right? So, but I put it at maybe like a. Whatever, 66-33, you know, or whatever, 60-40, right, versus more of like a 50-50. So it weighs heavily, but I still give credit for the real iconic stuff. I just think Orton doesn't have as much of that upper echelon stuff as you're making it seem.
Yeah, I guess that'll be our disagreement.
Yeah. All right, why don't we move on if we want to meet our quota here tonight.
We're not going to make the quota. It's not happening.
All right, number 24 is a guy we just mentioned. A guy near and dear to you, I know, and so this should be a good discussion. And that is the Rocket King of Hearts, Owen Hart, who I had at 38, you have at 23. So I'll be interested here on your takes on Owen, because I feel like it kind of goes against some of the stuff you've been talking about as far as the peaks, the high, high peaks. So talk to me about Owen Hart and why you have him this high.
Sure. So I think his peaks are some of the best stuff the company's ever done. Like his peaks are the Bret Hart matches. I think he's also really good in that Austin match at 97. He's the focal point of the Canadian Stampede. He's really good in a bunch of other little moments here and there. I love the Yokozuna team at WrestleMania 11. Mm-hmm.
But these aren't all like, I'll give you WrestleMania 10, I'll give you Canadian Stampede for your A-level, like, jump up GOAT moments, right? So
yeah.
So that's two. I mean, this other stuff you're saying is good, right? It's good. It's really good. It's memorable.
Well, what are we talking? Like, what's your cutoff here then? Like when you're talking about this stuff, are you talking?
Well, now
about
we're talking top 23 of all time, and you're naming me a guy that had a career from 1988 pretty much through, you know, 1999.
So 11 years.
Right. Yep. Good job. Math checks out. Yeah. But so that to me, that's like two elite moments.
So you're
like, I think Jeff Hardy's had more, you know, or Batista.
Sure. I think they both,
AJ Styles is maybe had more at this point.
We're going to yell about AJ Styles. Yeah. no, I think his peaks are, but his peak quality is like, for instance, if you compare him to Orton, he has those moments for me that I think are better than anything Orton has. Right.
No, yeah,
and so that,
yeah, I agree with that.
That puts
yeah.
him up the list. I think in ring, he is just as good as Orton, probably a little
better.
Bit better.
Yeah, he's better.
I always thought that in ring, he was, I don't want to say he was better than Brett, but I found him more interesting to watch than Brett mm-hmm. in a lot of instances. I think his character and promo work is very good despite the mistakes. And I think his jump ups for me are very high. Like, maybe not necessarily in number, but in terms of quality rather than quantity.
Let me ask you, and you can address this like real quick, because it doesn't totally pertain to this project because it didn't happen. Do you think he's a little overrated due to the way his life ended? And do you think he would have hung around and had the downside other guys have had? Or do you think he was still a good enough worker that he would have maybe had like two more years of very good and then kind of faded?
I think he would have had a couple more years of very good. Like, he strikes me as a guy who would leave out of boredom.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I quite like his 98 run. I really like the Shamrock stuff and stuff with like all that kind of like the dungeon match and all mm-hmm. that neat stuff. Him joining the Nation is strange, but
yes.
But I don't know. I don't know if he'd be the type of guy who would hang on another 5 years in the mid card, or if he'd do it like he'd finish out his contract and then kind of go.
Right, maybe go to like a Ring of Honor or something,
or just retire and become yeah. a firefighter or like whatever yeah, it is that to, he yeah. wanted. Yeah, like I think that's probably more.
Do you think
his.
He's overrated though, based on?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily because of his death so much, but I think he's probably one of the more loved wrestlers.
Right.
Now, maybe you could argue that that's because of his death, but he was always one of my favorites, and that's probably why he ranks high for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was always one of my favorites too. Like, I think top 23 on this list. Based on the criteria, I think just feels like just a touch high. I mean, maybe I had him a touch low at 38. I think maybe somewhere in the middle is realistic. I just think besides WrestleMania 10 and yeah, I'll give him the credit. You're right. Stampede is built around him. I think a lot of his other stuff, again, is at that level of, you know, very, very good, not elite.
Well, also like end of 93 to middle of 94, he's in like the most, I mean, arguably the most important feud in the company, and he carries his end really well.
Yeah, but did he feel, and again, I'm nitpicking with you because of where we are on the list, and I love Owen,
yeah.
but did he feel like a top guy? Was he a legit threat to take that title from Brett and lead the company?
Only because it was Brett.
Right, so that's an indictment on Brett, right?
No, there's lots of indictments on Brett, but yeah. that's not one of them.
Yeah.
I would say that because of how the feud was set up, he felt like a threat to the title.
Right.
Like, if
but
Undertaker
him against anyone champion, else, does he feel like a threat?
No.
Diesel,
but
you know.
No,
even Shawn Michaels in 96, right? Is he a threat there?
Well, they never really ran him as a. I think there was something interesting there based on the history. I think no matter what, like, he was set up to be a threat. If you talk about Michaels, when you hit that Enziguri moment, like later on in the year when they fought at Rage in the Cage, is that what it is? I think there was no chance he was going to take the title
exactly
shot
though.
From
Michaels. So, right, he's not going to be a main event at WrestleMania, right?
No, but that's tons of people. You can't just put that on Owen. There's lots of guys that would.
Yeah, but in this stretch now that we're getting to, I feel like in my mind, I'm starting to get to, and I'm just going by your list. Again, I'm not saying I, you know. when I'm looking at my top 23 or so, or even 24, I'm looking at guys that are, you know, at the level where I can believably see them main eventing a WrestleMania, having a world title run. I mean, and that includes Sergeant Slaughter at 24, right? Who in right. both the 80s, if there's a WrestleMania in 1983, right? I think he could have main evented easily.
Sure.
And he does it in 91 and has a legitimate title reign during a time where he never should have probably been near the title, which speaks to him as a heel. I look at my top 23 and I'm like, all of these guys check the box. They all can be world title contenders. All can be main eventing WrestleMania.
That's not a criteria. Like, because like that would not, that's not one of the criterias like we're talking about, whether they're main eventers or not. It's based on the,
yeah. Well, for me, they're all the most memorable peak guys. Like, these are all guys that had top high level feuds and title reigns. Like, longevity is factored in there, but a lot of it to me is peak guys. Like, and at the end of the day, like, it's in the criteria, and the way the criteria was built was to keep it from being a pure work rate list or a clear money drawing list. Right. So now I'm kind of in the middle. I'm saying these are all guys that were believable enough in, due to their work rate, their promo skills, the character work, and all their nuances, that I could see them being a top 23 wrestler of all time.
You have Rey Mysterio coming up?
Yes.
Is Rey Mysterio more believable in 06 than Owen Hart was in 94 to you?
Not in 06 when they did it, but I do think earlier and then later. Yes. It just wasn't when they actually did it. Like, when he's fighting like Undertaker and stuff and like whatever it is, like 08 or 09. Yes. Then.
Yeah.
And when he first comes in at 02, absolutely. Like, he's phenomenal, like with Kurt Angle and all those. Like, if he's put into that title picture with some of the, like an Angle, like at WrestleMania 19, I would have bought that.
I wouldn't have bought that. Like, no way. And I love Ray because obviously he's higher in my list. And we're going to talk.
I also
about
think Ray. I mean, Ray's more of an elite worker than. I mean, Owen's phenomenal.
Oh, then Owen. Yes, yeah. I would agree. Yeah. I don't know. In their peaks, we'll see. Like that would be interesting.
Peak Ray is like next level. But all right, so if he's the outlier due to his in-ring ability, fine. But I also think he's got more, like, Owen has the Brett story and then a lot of other good stuff. I feel like Ray, you know, we'll talk about Ray. But anyway, my top 23, I'm confident in saying, like, these are the top 23 guys in my eyes that, you know. And if you take Rick Martel out and push up Batista and Jeff Hardy, I would say the top, you know, 26 or so, like, guys that believable world title contenders, main event of Mania, top guys across the board, check all the boxes. I feel like Owen is just like right under that.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I wouldn't argue that he's a top guy at any point other than with Brett, mm-hmm. but I didn't factor that in so much in terms of, like, to me, that wasn't one of the determinants. I mean, I weighed it for other people. Mm-hmm. I weighed it for my, like, top three or four.
I weighed it for this. Like, to me, when you get to the top 20-ish, like, I had guys in mind. It's more about the guys that are there, right? So, like, I have a set number of guys that I see as being, okay, like, the elite. And for me, the elite have to rank in that stretch because they put it all together. So it's like a chicken or the egg kind of thing, I guess. But I didn't factor in, like, oh, you know, Kevin Owens versus Sheamus is like a WrestleMania. But when I get to this top tier, yes, I had to put the guys I thought were the top of all time are in this top 23.
See, I think we're just differing on where we made that cutoff. And I'm not just saying that because we're talking about it now. But when I look at my list, I would argue my top 22 are that. And I purposely put Owen towards the top of the next level guys. Mm-hmm. Of like the B guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you're arguing that the difference is where we made the cut.
You see how that works?
All right. Well, let's move on because I think we have another guy that's going to be an interesting discussion point. That is our number 23 together. I had him at 22, so pretty close, and you had him at 28. So you obviously thought highly of him as well. Some people didn't even rank him and then lied and said that they meant to and forgot him on the list.
He hasn't been in the promotion long enough.
And that is AJ Styles. God, I am an AJ Styles mark. I love him. I think he is the complete package. I think there's an argument, maybe not this second, but at least in 2017, the best worker potentially in the world. A guy that was always never really known for his promo skills and character that I thought killed it, like especially once he became a heel and the face that runs the place and all that stuff on SmackDown. He was must see for me for a while, you know, still is. And, you know, I'm glad the Nakamura feud has happened after the voting because I'm curious how it would have hurt him. Like, I thought his run of 16 and 17 when the voting ended was pretty elite for him. And when you factor in the respect built into what he is, the way he came in, and within 3 months, he was pretty much a main eventer. I mean, he's fighting Reigns the month after. The night after Mania, he wins the number one contender four-way, right? Everyone's crying that he got buried at Mania to Jericho, but then the next night he becomes number one contender and has a great series with Reigns. His matches with Cena every time hit five for pretty much, which is amazing. everything he touches, like James Ellsworth, that whole feud is like crazy. Like, who else makes that work, you know, besides Styles? Maybe Cena.
Randy Orton would have done it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Randy Orton just RKO'd him, buried him, bitched that he botched everything and got him fired.
Screamed at him in the ring.
AJ, so, I mean, if you look at the criteria, elite worker, 10 out of 10. His promo and character is great. He's already had a bunch of jump up moments to me, both matches and moments. Right down to his debut in the Rumble, which was great. Longevity, he's dinged a bit. Yeah, he is. But you know what? With 3 years of this level, he might be top 10. Like, I mean, this is based off 2 years. I'm not taking that away from him because he that's when he came in, is at the end of the period. It's not like he wrestled 2 years and left or like they had like a steamboat type career, right? He's still going. So I think there's a bit of projection in that. His career is not finite to us. And he's flexible. He's done heel, face, obviously great as a tag. He carried, you know, unless you're Glenn Butler, who just is in denial, he carried Shane McMahon to a very good WrestleMania match, you know, last year in Orlando, and just tons of intangibles. His connection with the crowd is great. His moveset is great. Everything is so crisp and well executed. I can't think of anything bad. Talk about AJ Styles, the wrestler. There's things you can question about his lifestyle, you know, his, you know, comments and beliefs outside the ring, but inside the ring as a wrestler, he's one of my favorites. He's the first wrestling figure I bought for my son, and my son now calls every wrestler AJ Styles, which makes me happy. So, yes, to me, he's well-earned inside the top 25 as one of the greatest WWF or e-wrestlers that we've ever seen, and that's only just based on 2 years' worth of work. So I can only imagine if he sticks around for another two or three at this level.
I'm on board. I mean, I had him at 28. Mm-hmm. Looking at it, I might put him up over a few guys. I'm on board. Everything you said works. The only thing I wish they would stop touting him as every match he's having going to be like the greatest match of all time.
Yeah.
And they're putting a lot of unfair pressure on him. And he is still amazing and phenomenal, if you would say.
well, it's leading to people like not appreciate. Like, I thought him and Nakamura Mania was pretty good. Right. But the expectations were so high. And part of that was on them because they've had, you know, matches before. But it's kind of like the Shawn Perfect syndrome, SummerSlam 93, right? Like, the hype is so high, and then even a three-and-a-half-star match like feels like a disappointment.
Well, did you see their Wrestle Kingdom match?
I actually have not.
You should check it out, because like, if you like his work, like, that match is just incredible. Right. Like, and I think that's what that's based on. But like, that was 2 years earlier, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are not young either. They're both nearing 40, right? So it's not going to... So
I think, I mean, me personally... And we talked about this when we talked about Nakamura. Like, I've yet to see much out of him in his 30 run. Like, he had some couple great matches in NXT, but what else? You know, and AJ has the track record over 2 years. Now, I'm not putting it all at Nakamura's feet, but I think part of it. And I think since he's gone heel, the feud's gotten better, despite the finishes. I'm hoping Money in the Bank is, you know, their best. We'll see. I think the Mania match was hurt by them both being faces.
Look, I think if this voting happened now, I probably wouldn't have Nakamura on my list.
Yeah.
Because as much as like I don't want to put it all in one guy, there's something off about Nakamura here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, compared to what I've seen him do. And it's not – I don't know what it is. Like, the last match they had at Backlash, I thought the match was getting really, really good, and then they ended it. They just ended it too quick. Like, you put another 10 minutes on that match, and then you're finally starting to see the potential.
And that's what I'm hoping Money in the Bank is, because I'm hoping it's the end of the feud and we get the actual last 10 minutes.
But it's a last man standing.
Yeah,
and those
true.
Are very rarely ever – I don't know why they love doing those matches, but like the only last man standing I've ever really liked is Flair and Triple H, which we talked about last time.
Yeah.
I can't think of
– I like Triple H Jericho.
I watched that last year. I'd never seen it. I watched it for the first time last year, and I really didn't enjoy it.
No,
I thought it was fine. I think I went like 3 on it or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't hate it, but like, I didn't love it either. I was expecting more.
Yeah, I'd have to think of some other ones, but no, I agree. It's not the best sip, but I also give AJ credit for his awesome theme music and entrance. It's all part of the package.
which I used to think was awful. The first time I heard it, I hated it. I was like, oh, what is this? But it's just completely grown on me.
Oh, it's so good. I deserted poor Charlie Hull at SummerSlam when that match was coming out because I wanted to see his entrance live for the first time. We were in line for food. And I said, can you get the food? I'm going back to the seats to watch AJ Styles' entrance. I didn't even really give him the option. I just said, I'm going. Like, you can stay in line and get our food, or you can fucking leave. I don't care. But I'm not missing AJ Styles' entrance live. Yeah. all right. So I don't think there's much more debate there. I mean, I guess
you left him off the list for longevity.
Yeah, that's the only argument you have.
But it's not even a good argument because there are people on people's lists
that
have around the same longevity.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. It's stupid because, like I said before, that projection helped him for me, but I think it hurts for others because it's like, well, he's only been here 2 years. And then you're overcompensating for the guys that were here 2 years in the past and left because you know that it's done, right? So you're saying, here's their full body of work. Here you're saying, oh, well, he just came in. But he's done a ton in those 2 years. Like, I mean, the matches he's had have been incredible. And you put that up against any of the guys. It was Scott. Like, I don't care. I'll call it out. And I look at his list and I'm like, there's like 90 guys on your list, Scott, that I would take, you know, put AJ. It's like, I mean, to justify like Coco Beware on the list. And I'm a Coco Mark. I love him. But Coco on the list, I mean, he's probably never sniffed a 2.5-star match in the WWF on a guy that had multiple 5-stars in a year and at a world title level is just mind boggling. And I know he claims he forgot him, you know, he had him and forgot him, but regardless, I know there are others that didn't have him because he didn't have, you know, he didn't have 100% of the vote. So obviously some people left him off. And that's the only reason I can think of to leave him off is because of
longevity. You feel
that? Yeah, longevity. So,
but even like, I mean, how?
Like he finished 35th. He finished 35th. 108. He was on 108 ballots. So 10 people left him off with a low of 97 and a high of 9.
Right, and there are people that left off Hulk Hogan, so.
Right, so. Yeah, I don't. I think there's only two people that made three. It looks like four people made every ballot.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That stat in itself is crazy.
Yeah.
Because there should be at least 20 people that make every ballot, at least. Anyway, anything else on Styles?
No, we're good. All right, let's go to our 22. This is going to be a fun one because this is what he's doing.
Yes!
We actually had him only one spot apart. I had him at 23. You had him at 22. I'd say we both agree that he is at the very end of the elite tier. Right? I have him as he's not a B level. He's an A level guy. I've recently postulated that it's him that carried Rick Rude to the great matches. It's not Rick Rude carrying him. Because he's got the great body of work, and that is the ultimate warrior.
That was a warrior hiss.
Snort. warrior, I think, is a guy that's aged well, not physically,
We haven't seen his bones. Have we seen his bones?
not physically and not as a person, as a likable human being, but as a wrestler, I think his work has aged well once we got out of the...
Would you be surprised if Dana Warrior had him mummified?
Would I be surprised if he showed up on Raw next week? No.
No.
I still can't get over the fact that he died after... I'm not going to get into it again, but it's still like one of the most... It's like a mystery of the world to me that he finally returned after all the time and died 2 days after. Like, I mean, it's fucking crazy. I cannot grasp my head around it at all that is a thing that happened.
Alex Jones would probably have an explanation for you.
I mean, how's it possible? He's gone for all that time. He finally makes amends, returns... Shows up a Raw, then dies the next day. Like, how is that even a thing?
The globalist conspiracies are.
It's not even like it was a month later. It was a fucking day later. It's crazy. Minutes. It's like hours. You know, it's like hours after here's a Raw, he died. Like, how is that possible? Is that his heart did not give
out
a day earlier? Fuck. It's like, what if he had died 3 days earlier? None of we get nothing. You know, it's crazy to me.
We get another self-destruction DVD, but a real self-destruction.
Christ. But anyway, I think once we got past the work rate era of like internet fandom in the 90s, I think people started to come around to him more as a worker. Because if you look at his, he's, you know, everyone talks about Big Match John, But Big Match Helwig is right up there with anyone. When you look at his top performances, are always in the biggest moments of his career, whether it's with Savage, whether it's with Rude, with Hogan, like Hogan. All of those. Who?
I said Hogan, but okay. Also Honky Tonk.
Honky, yeah, anything. Like all of his biggest moments are his best matches. Even Slaughter. Like that's a big match, and it's pretty good, right? So like all of his biggest stuff is his most memorable stuff, and that's what guys that we've talked about to me are lacking in like in their others. That best stuff sometimes always comes like not in the biggest moments, and that they choke in the big moments. So we talked about that at Triple H,
yeah,
and it applies to others. But for me, once you get to SummerSlam 88, all of Warrior's biggest matches are his best matches. And you know why part of that is? All of his other matches were squashes, pretty much. So, like, I don't know how we can factor in. Like, he didn't have too many, all right, here's 15 minutes with a great worker on TV. Like, we didn't get a lot of those, you know, from him. So it's hard to tell. But all his biggest matches.
All the ones he got, he succeeded at.
Right. I mean, there are a few here and there, right? I mean, you know, that are what they are. But for the most part, all of his biggest matches were his best work. Once you get past that first year, and even then, his presence is awesome. Like, I always think it was a WrestleMania 4 match with Hercules, but they fight at MSG on, I won't spoil too much because it's going to be coming up for me and Scott on Place to Be. But he has a rematch with Hercules in MSG later that month that I liked like far better. It was a fun match. And he's had some real big moments. He had the tag match, I think it was in February. Let me find it. Him and Morocco against Reed and Bundy. Fun, hot brawl. So he was like over immediately in the character with the look and the music. But work rate doesn't really all come together until 89. And from then on, he just delivers every time. And his presence, his promos are memorable. God, you're a bigger Warrior Mark than me. So go ahead.
Look, I always just thought it was a horror. I thought the knock on him was just so horribly unjust. Like that he couldn't work never made any sense to me. Mm. Like even watching that Self-Destruction of Ultimate Warrior DVD where Teddy DiBiase like shitting all over his work rate. Like it's funny because like Teddy DiBiase had just as many opportunities with all the same guys Warrior did and never sniffed that match quality.
Right.
Like, you know, and that was always for me the strange double standard with him. I was actually watching this thing on the network the other day. It was like the top 10 botches, right? Like, or whatever. It was one of the countdown shit. And even Chris Jericho was like going off on the Warrior. Like, oh, he should have just never opened his mouth and it was stupid and this and that. And it's like, come on, man. Like, right. I remember Warrior promos. Like, I think Chris Jericho's a great talker. I don't know if he has as many memorable promos as the Warrior.
Right.
Like, you know, like, and I think he just got this, there was this unfair stigma with people in the company that never matched how the fans ever felt about him.
Yeah, and I think part of it, too, was like a DiBiase, I think, got it, or a Bobby Heenan does the same thing. I think physically they probably got hurt by war. Like, I think he was probably reckless, right? I mean, I think that's part of it. So I'm thinking if you're in, I can see people in the business maybe not respecting him as much. And I think part of it probably stems from the way he conducted business, you know, walking out of Vince McMahon, like walking out of the company a couple of times. So I think all that, you know, comes together to hit that point of.
But that just feels like.
Oh, it's ingenuine for sure. You know, I agree, it's wrong, but I'm just saying I think that's where that comes from more than them actually thinking some of that stuff.
It feels like, well, you know, you're wrong to like him because of this stuff that you don't know about,
right?
That actually doesn't affect you at all. Like it because in the business it's this and it's like it's if like I like if I were to go another like if I were to if you were to like love an actor's performance, right? And like and I was like, well, you know, it's actually not good because of XYZ, like it doesn't matter. The performance is there and the result is what counts. And that's what I always found was kind of unfair with him. Mm-hmm. And he always delivered and this and that. Now the less said about his 96, the better. Except him crushing Triple H.
Right. And there's not much more after that. I mean, he's only around until June. It's April.
The Lawler match is
the Lawler match is terrible. The Goldust thing is a fucking disaster.
Actually, the opposite way. The Goldust match too. The Lawler match is I actually thought was fine.
Yeah, it's okay. But there's not much else. And he's actually fun at International Incident. I mean, King of the Ring when he comes out and at the end saves like Shawn and they're brawling. Like that part's fine. But he's not really. I mean, he still gets a huge pop at WrestleMania. Like it's. I mean, he's welcome. So. No, he's one of the greats. I mean, just his WrestleMania catalog alone to me gets him here, and then you factor in all the other intangibles that he brought to the table. I do think it's a lot of sour grapes from some of the talking heads. I think part of it, too, is like Meltzer at that time, the anabolic warrior, because, you know, he's against the big muscle guys. And I think he exemplifies a time in wrestling that many fans later that came up in the internet era in like the 90s that were just work rate obsessed, you know, in quotes, right. That didn't buy into what he was. Like, he was a symbol of bloated steroid guy, brawler, can't work. You know, I think that has became like a talking point that I think has starting to get dispelled, because when you look at his stuff, he's actually pretty damn good. I don't feel like we overranked him at all. I think he's properly ranked.
Where did he finish overall?
Yeah, I was going to look at that. I think it was not too far. Actually, 38.
You know, that's better than I thought, because I thought going in, when we were nominating people, I think I nominated him, actually. And I remember thinking, like, oh, God, are people actually going to just leave him off? Like, I was legitimately worried people were going to
leave him off. Yeah, so he was on 108 ballots as well. 105, I should say. So 13 left him off. I'm guessing some of that was probably personality flaws that people didn't agree with. I would think they probably left him off for that.
Right.
I guess you could maybe fudge an argument around longevity if you wanted to. Someone had him at 100 and highest was 8. So average rank at 39.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad he finished as high as he did. I wish he would have finished higher, but, you know, I'll take what I can get when it comes to Warrior.
And as time passes, he may raise even more if we were to do this again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if only we can get Sid higher now.
Right.
Then I'd have all my guys.
You got all your guys. Randy Orton, Sid, and the Ultimate Warrior.
I don't like Randy Orton. I don't like him. I did a whole pod blast with Greg Phillips where I fucking talked about how shitty he was.
And you still ranked him like 10th, so. All right, let's get to number 21. Who, you had 21, I had him at 21, and overall was our 21st guy remaining. And that is the boss, Andre the Giant. To me, one of the toughest guys to rank. I knew he'd be in my elite tier probably toward the end. I heard cases of him maybe being higher, depending on what you value. I've heard cases of him maybe being lower, depending on what you value. To me, it's hard to see a list where he's not at least in the top 20 fringe, so like 21. Obviously, has jump up moments. Work rate is what you want it to be, right, with him. Promos, non-existent, but he didn't need it because of his presence. Connection with the crowd, of course, through the roof. You know, sneaky longevity. Obviously, he's pretty much done by early 90, but he was there for, you know, a while, even if you count his pop-ins and outs throughout the 70s and 80s. Once he becomes a main player, he's got plenty to his credit, and he's fucking Andre the Giant. I mean, he finished 18th, so I think everyone pretty much agreed. He only was off 2 ballots, which is crazy, but still, there's a lot of nuts out there. So he's on 116 ballots. Average rank 18, or 23, I should say. So,
if you left him off the ballot, I would like to know why.
Someone had him at 96.
96?
Yes, high of 5.
The person who had him 96, who's at 94? 95. I need to know.
Hang on.
I need to know if it's one better than.
And then Adrian Adonis.
Adrian Adonis ahead of.
Butch Reed ahead of Andre the Giant. Dean Malenko.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Brian Pillman. Molina ahead of Andre the Giant.
Brian Pillman ahead of.
Molina, Victoria, Layla. And it's not Stacy. Tully Blanchard, Larry Zbyszko, Bull Nakano, Dick Togo. Forget it.
Dick Togo. There's a lot of talk about Dick Togo. We didn't talk about Dick Togo, but like, I recently rewatched the 98 pay-per-views, and he's really good, but like,
I know.
He's a third of a decent team. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Does he have anything else? Why aren't we talking about Dick Togo?
There's a reason. Yeah, it would be too. I can't figure out based on this thing. I'd have to really dig in to see who left off Andre.
Yeah, and that will take too long. But I don't know if you left him off the list. I'd actually like to know an argument why he wouldn't be in the top 100.
Right.
Write us. Or write something. Or write a manifesto. Just don't kill anyone.
Right.
If you could send me a letter with all newspaper clippings of the letters in your explanation as to why Andre the Giant is not your top 100 wrestlers. I will use it to terrify my sons.
Sound nice.
Oh, they need to learn fear.
All right. I don't think we have much more to say about Andre. Would you agree?
I would agree. He's Andre the fucking Giant. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. All right. And I think we're going to get a lot of that actually coming up. So this is why I have confidence. We're going to be okay with this. All right. Number 20. So here we go. Our top 20. A guy that you had at 19, I had at 18. So our top 20 is all pretty close. So that'll be good. I think a guy that when I actually was originally thinking about this list, I had him higher. And then we talked about this phenomenon before. The more you kind of slaughter the guys in, they slowly drop down and on and on. But I do think he's a guy that warrants this consideration. I think if he lasted, you know, if he didn't pass away and had a couple more years, I think we talked about him higher. Yeah, if his body had lasted.
He hadn't expired.
Yeah. I mean, if he did, right? So it's Eddie Guerrero. If he, you know, give me 2009 or 2010, right? Give me 3 to 5 more years of Eddie Guerrero because I think he hangs around. I think he's higher because I think he was still putting out very high quality even as his body was given out. The feud match of Batista's last pay-per-view was, like, real good. So I think we get and if you start to think of the guys that were starting to filter into the promotion in 06, 07 and on, I think we see him against some of those guys, and it just gets better and better. Like, he never even had a proper feud, really, with John Cena. Like, he kind of had the one, like, in 03, but so imagine, like, 07 peak John Cena against Eddie. He never had that match with Shawn Michaels. CM Punk is on his way in. You know, Danny Bryan soon. So it's like, you think of some of the guys that were on their way in, even John Morrison starting to get better. So you think of all these guys, Chavo, no, if you think of some of the guys that were around and that he didn't really get extended looks with, what could have been if he would have stayed alive. So I think that ends up hurting him a bit. Dying hurts him on many levels, but I think he finishes higher is what I'm trying to say. If he had more years, so I think he had gas in the tank. I think what does hurt him a bit is his first year is shaky and that post title win until the heel turn is shaky, but his 02 from his return at 02 through losing the title to JBL is just like elite stuff. And his promos are great. His character is great. One of the all time great connection wrestlers with the crowd. His charisma and electricity was palpable. It just everything. He just exuded realism and obviously a top level worker. Heel or face, tag or single, did it all. So Eddie Guerrero, a very worthy top 20 guy.
Yeah, I wish I would have put him at 20 instead of 19 now that I'm looking about who I have at 20. So you asked me about Owen Hart and his legitimacy in main event moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are yours for Eddie Guerrero?
So you get the Brock match, right? That's the biggest one.
Which felt like, I don't know, tell me if you didn't feel this way, it felt like a huge fluke that he won.
No, I don't feel that way.
Oh, really? I felt that way. And it even was booked that way, wasn't it?
No. It seems like it is because Goldberg attacks Brock, but if you rewatch it, that's not the finish. It goes on after that.
Oh, I'm not just talking about the finish. I mean, even going into it, it's like, are they actually going to put...
I don't think it felt like a fluke. I thought it felt like Brock was just unbeatable, but Eddie figured out a way to beat him. Like, to me, it made Eddie legit. Like, it justified the Eddie push. It's like, oh my God, this guy fucking beat Brock. Like, kind of clean. No, I don't think it felt fluky at all.
That did for me. Okay, go on. What else?
So I would say, let me think. I guess it depends on how you view the Ray feud.
Yeah, it was never... For me, I mean, I like the Ray feud, but it never hit the level it should have hit. But it's because of the stupid fucking storyline around it.
Right.
Like,
but I don't think you can discount the importance it was to SmackDown. That's kind of been proven out, right, in some of the numbers in that time. The telenovela reaching the Spanish audience and all that. Like, they've tried to recapture that since.
Yeah.
So I don't think that could be discredited or discounted.
Okay. So a storyline with Ray. Go on. What else?
Let me think quick. I guess so elite level. Yeah, I mean, those are probably the biggest ones. Maybe the angle match at 20. The RVD match was like great, but yeah, not elite level. But I think he's better than Owen in all the other categories.
I don't know. I don't know if he's better. I don't know if he's better at work rate. I think they're pretty close for me. Don't get me wrong. I voted Guerrero mm-hmm. higher than Owen. Right. I'm not making the case that Owen should be up there. But you were making the case that the reason he shouldn't be near there is because he doesn't have like a ton of these like top tier moments, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know if Guerrero does either. And I like Guerrero, right? And I have him voted at the same place as you. But like that's to me, that's why it wasn't such an important thing in the voting period. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think part of my Owen thing was I didn't see him as a world title holder. Now, if he's around at 04, maybe, I don't know. But Eddie, to me, was believable as world champion during that stretch. And I don't feel like Brock losing to him was a fluke. It sucks that whatever happened and they had to take the belt off him. But for that stretch, yeah. to me, he feels believable. Also, the matches he had with JBL were great. I'd put the bloodbath as a memorable moment where he gets busted open and is bleeding his fucking guts out at Judgment Day.
Sure. I just don't love that match. Like, but I agree, the bloodbath is quite crazy.
And I think the heel turn on Ray, too, when he takes the mask off and all that stuff.
Yeah, I will give you that. I will give you that. I just don't know if those are – sounds like a lot of, like, good moments, but not a lot of top-tier moments.
Yeah, I mean, Owen, to me, really only has 10. I gave you Canadian Stampede, but I think Eddie has at least a few. I think Eddie's character...
That was more of an Orton argument you gave me, but yes.
Right. What do you think Eddie's character compared to like Owen's?
Oh, it's way better.
Yeah. I mean, Owen had a great character, but...
No, I don't know if it's way better. But I
think
better
it is because Owen as a face was bland every time. Nation, 92.
He wasn't as versatile.
Right.
Owen was not as versatile character-wise as Guerrero was.
Correct. Eddie was great as a face and a heel.
Yeah, Guerrero is one of the best characters, all-around character guys ever, I would say.
Right.
Like, everything. For the moment, even in that down first year, he was great as a character. Trying to pick up China. Like, it all worked. He pins China. Remember when he pins China by accident?
Yes.
The Intercontinental. Like, that stuff's gold, right? Like...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you think Eddie Guerrero gets overrated because he died?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, probably a bit, eh?
I do think, though, we were robbed, and this is completely just anecdotal gut feeling, but I think we were robbed more of Eddie than we were of Owen.
Yes, absolutely. I wouldn't disagree with that. Because when Owen died, he was on the downswing anyway.
Correct.
And I don't know how Owen fits into those next couple years.
Right.
Like, if you just look at it. Like, I don't know what makes sense. Like, you're right. When you talk about all the matches we could have had with Guerrero, that probably would have been great.
And I would argue Eddie was probably on the downside physically, too. But I think he was reaching that zone of, like, that we've seen with Jericho the last 5 years. Like Eddie, to me, could have had Jericho's last, like, 6 years of reinvention. He was that adept at reinventing himself. Like, think of all the character ticks and traits. And Jericho, I mean, he's been on good matches, but nothing great. So, like, I think Eddie could have been in that zone, right? Where his character and legend is so strong and good that he's fun to watch, even if the matches are just solid to very good versus, like, top-notch. So if you give me, like, 3 or 4 more years of Eddie, I think that helps a ton. Whereas Owen, I think, was just playing out the clock by that point.
Yeah, I don't know if it gets Eddie up the list anymore. But I still would have rather – I would rather have 3 more years of Eddie than 3 more years of Owen.
Right.
And I'd rather have like 10 more years of Vicky because she was just fucking dynamite.
Yeah, I agree. Does she make your list?
Yeah, she's number 1.
Very good. Ahead of Andre.
The longevity is off the charts.
Ahead of Andre. All right. I mean, again, Eddie's worthy, but I think it's a good lead into our cumulative number 19. I had him at 19. You had him at 18. And that is Rey Mysterio. We mentioned him before. So him and Eddie, of course, very tied together. I think it's fitting that they're back to back. I know Rey. Well, let's see where Eddie finished overall. Hang on one sec. He finished at 13th. He was as high as 2.
That's Will.
Yeah. As low as 64. Which is impressive. Like that's, you know, that speaks to the respect he has, right? That no one had him lower than that. And then Will's number 1, the number 1 vote for Ray. I think buoys him up to 20. His low was 89, which I think is kind of crazy. He was on 113 ballots. Eddie was on 116. So Eddie only was off two ballots, which is nuts. Talk to me about Ray.
Well, I mean, look, like I remember the narrative during the voting process, because most of the audio coming out was Will, and he would drop at least three or four times per podcast that Ray was his number one.
Right.
Right. And that kind of really forced me to go back and look at a lot of Ray's stuff and consider it, because it felt crazy to me. And the conclusion that I came to when I watched all this stuff was that it was crazy, that he just couldn't be that high.
Right.
But that being said, he's so good. Like, his work rate is so, so, so good. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, when you were saying his top is next level stuff, you're absolutely right. I don't know if his top is necessarily in the WWF or WWE. I think he's got some incredible stuff, but I think his transcendent stuff, a lot of it is from earlier in his career. But that's me. His character,
I would say his initial stretch, we saw it. Like that 02 arrival until, I don't know, sometime in 03, maybe even to 04. But even at the very least, those first like 6 months of 02, like when you get the angle match, the tag stuff, the SmackDown 6, like I think we're seeing pretty much peak Ray during that time.
I don't know. Like, I think he'd lost a little bit of his speed, and I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know where you
touch, but I think it offsets with his work, like his intelligence of his work. That's why I think his O2 is like almost this complete package.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think I liked him more in the end of like WCW era. Yeah.
Oh, even like, that late, like 2000.
Oh, no. Like, sorry. Not, when I say end of WCW, right. I guess I meant around 97.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like, we're nitpicking, right. like one of the greatest workers of all time.
Right? And he's damn good later too. Like when he's,
oh yes,
shakes off the injuries.
His Jericho stuff in 09 is for me the best stuff of that year, aside from Michael's Undertaker at Mania. Right. Like that feud is just incredible. And I think those two work so well together. For me, I think the thing that hurts Ray and the reason why I couldn't put him number one is that he doesn't have that transcendent one-on-one match like that really propels him over the top. Like, whether it be in terms of importance, whether it be in terms of match quality, like he's missing that to be like the very tippy top. And then for the rest of it, like, I think he gets mired down in a couple of stupid feuds like with Chavo and shit like that.
Fuck Chavo.
But yeah, he's the worst. Is he the worst Guerrero?
Oh, by far. Mondo's way better.
Would you rather watch Rey Mysterio fight Chavo Guerrero or the Gobbledygooker?
Gobbledygooker.
Excellent, me too. I'm glad we're in agreement. But the lack of a top tippy top match one on one to me hurts him in the context of this list. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. That's why I think he's here in the back end. I also think, I defended earlier, but there is obviously the size and the look and all that, like preventing him from really hitting that top tier. I think him being this high speaks to how elite he is in the other categories. Yeah. He's one of those few guys, again, that I don't dock him for never being a heel because he shouldn't ever be a heel. Obviously great as a tag and a single. He does have times where he is lagging behind. We're stuck in the cruiserweight division, stuck with the Chavo. When he comes back in 07 with the huge fucking HGH gut, it takes him a while to kind of shed that and get back into shape. But once he does kind of refine his fastball, like you said, in 09 and even into 10 before he leaves. Although, when's he leave? Is it 14?
No, it's in 12. It's 12? He's there at 12 because is that when he's teaming with Sin Cara?
Yeah, I think so. He's got the good matches with Dolph, too. Like, those are good.
Yes, and I actually quite like the feud with Punk.
Yes, yep. Oh, and yeah, that's really good. Yeah, with the Punk singing the friggin' happy birthday and all that stuff to the daughter.
And I love – I actually quite like his feud with Cody Rhodes, which gives us Dr. Doom Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. No, I mean, he does have some feuds. Like, so what's his best match to you? Is it Kurt?
For me, it's Kurt. I think it's his first one, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I think that's around four, maybe four and a quarter-ish. So – So, yeah, I mean, if that's his peak for a guy like a Ray, that's kind of disappointing that he never had the five-star match. Yeah. You know? Like, I do – I don't remember him and Cena. Do you – was that 11? Was that any good?
Were
they unify the title?
No, I don't remember it at all, but I don't remember it being anything special.
Yeah. I wish we got, like, peak Ray and peak Cena.
Yeah.
Like 2015 Cena. 2015 Indy Dream Match Worker Cena. Right. Or even 07. Like Ray like misses 07. Ray. Yeah, like 09 Ray against 07 Cena.
Yeah. There's no way they would have put him against Cena in 07.
No, I know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so and I guess that, that angle's probably – well, I mean, his best singles match, yes. His best overall match is the him at Edge.
The tag match?
Yeah. And that's yeah. a five. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, that also includes Angle and Benoit. Like, I mean,
right.
it's set up to be
yes. that. Excellent. Yeah.
He's also one of the few guys, too, that, like, I would legitimately be excited for him to return.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he got a great pop this year at the Rumble. It was a tale of two Rumbles for him. If you remember his last appearance in 2015, he got booed. Was it 14 or 15?
14.
Yeah. He got booed out of Pittsburgh because everyone wanted Daniel Bryan. and then now he made his return this time. And it was like everyone was going crazy for him. And people, remember, he was rumored to be maybe seen as Mania opponent for a while this year. Did he get hurt? Is that what happened?
I don't know because he's at the greatest Royal Rumble too, right? So
yeah. I feel like he might
was
hurt.
It was a short window.
Yeah, so that's too bad. I guess him and Cena will be fun. All right, so I think we're in agreement. Ray's a top 20 guy.
Yeah, but any like much higher though. It feels again like you're ignoring right. the parameters of the thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he maxes here. I mean, it's hard to, when I look at the guys ahead of him. I have a hard time, and that includes Eddie on my list. I have a hard time putting him above any of those guys. All right, right. Our number 18 combined. I had him at 17. You had him at 20, and that is the Hot Rod, Roddy Piper. I know he was TikTok. He finished 12. Someone had him at 4. I think it might have been Kelly. And then as low as 81. He was on all but one ballot. So again, I don't know. Yeah. So 117 ballots. It's like I think like the Hall of Fame Baseball Writers Association guys like were voting and we can't make Roddy Piper unanimous. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what this is what's going to happen when we get to these top guys is what's left to say about them. But
yeah.
obviously a top guy of all time. I think what prevents him from getting higher is he doesn't, again, have like those real classic matches, but that was never meant to be his style. I do think longevity hurts him a bit. Like he's only really around from 84 to 87 in his peak. And then what, you know, on and off from 89 to 92. And then that's about it. You know, I know he's got the bounce back. You know, he's got the handful of stuff, 94, 96, 03.
It's not good.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, it's not good. I mean, there's a couple of good things, but like...
Right, I think I like the backlot brawl's fine.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the Brett match.
Right. Oh, that, yeah. 92. Well, that's probably his best match. Yeah. And then you get the stuff in 03, or no, 06, when him and Flair won the tag titles. Like, I like that yeah. moment. The 03 stuff is what it is, but his return to Mania is fun. That's a great moment at 19. But yeah, so anyway, so I mean, I think longevity dings him a bit. I think that keeps him down. But as a pure character and a talker, I mean, maybe the best talker of all time, at least a top three, maybe the best heel of all time, maybe a top three, you know, one of the top brawlers of all time, a legitimate threat to Hulk Hogan during Hogan's peak. So yeah, anything
it's funny because. Well, the only thing I would say is with Piper, number one, I wish I would have put him ahead of Eddie and Ray. Now that I look back at my list, he's the one I would move up. Number two is I think everything after the comeback of 87, excuse me, except for, I guess, the Brett match and the backlot brawl, I find so much of that stuff just hurts his case because I feel he comes back and is worse at everything. Like he's not as good a promo anymore. He's not that he's bad as a face, but it just doesn't work. It doesn't click the same way. Mm-hmm. Like I remember at the time watching it and being like, this is the guy that people like. Like right. I hated his promos, like say like 89 or like 90 or so I wonder if he'd rate higher on my list if he'd never come back. If we just had that window of like 84,
right.
It's coming 83 to 87. I wonder if he just had that. If he'd be higher, you'd lose the Brett match, so you'd lose that. But
I think losing the Brett match and the Mountie moment hurt him.
Oh, the Mountie, that's right.
And also the Flair feud. Even though they don't have the great match, you lose the feud, and you also lose the Rude Cage match. So I think if he doesn't come back after 92, he may come a little bit higher. But I think that second run has some good stuff in it. It's not his best work across the board, but when you think of the Rude Cage match, the Flair feud in late 91, the Mountie moment, and then 8. I mean, it's hard to take that all away from him.
Yeah, I just don't want him to talk anymore during that period. Like, I just can't.
Right.
I can't even.
No, no, yeah. No, I agree. And it gets even worse in WCW. Like, his promos are grating in WCW when he first comes in. Like, he just tries to, like, it's just not funny. He's trying to be funny. It's just not funny. He's not edgy anymore.
Don't you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, a weird tone.
Yeah, no, but he is so damn great in the mid-80s that it offsets a lot of that. So I think he's... I mean, it's hard to look at a pure Dodef list and not have him top 20. So I agree with you. I mean, I had him higher than Eddie and Ray because I just, to me, he's just more of the main event level guy. And just the Hogan feud alone. And even underrated for me is the Orndorff feud that he has. Like, that Saturday's main event match is tremendous. And also, he's got the Snuka feud, which we didn't mention, like all that stuff. And I've mentioned it before, but it's worth checking out that Coliseum Home video, the Piper one, because it has that whole feud on it. All the matches with Tonga Kid and Snuka and everything was just so good. The heat was insane.
Yeah, I'd even say even the Mr. T feud. Like, yeah, I mean, it's too silly, but like, he's in the feud with the mainstream guy going forward.
Yep, agreed. And then even the Adonis match, like, it's such a big moment. So,
oh, it's great. A good point. Yeah. I mean, how do you feel about the music video in WCW, I'm Your Man?
I love it, obviously.
It's amazing, right? Yeah. I mean, if that had been in WWF, he'd be top 10.
Correct. I might count it anyway. That's how good it is. I like to think he made it while he was just hanging out at Alcatraz.
Yeah, yeah. What else is he going to do? He's already crazy. Why not make a music video?
All right. Our number 17, who I think in some ways can compare to Piper based on his talking and style at times. We both had him at 16, and that is Chris Jericho. The man is reinventing himself day after day. I think it's crazy when you think of when he first came in, like, would you have ever believed he'd be a top 16 WWF wrestler of all time? But it's hard to take it away from him. Face, heel, tag, single, jump up moments, great work rate, connection with the crowd. I actually think he's an interesting comp to, like, an Orton. To me, like, he's what Orton could have been if he had reached, like, all of his peak. Like, if Orton would have taken every ounce of talent that he had and actually maximized it, that's Jericho. Because Jericho's lows are barely low. You know what I mean? Like, even during his downtime, there's some cringy stuff in there, but the matches, like, never sucked. You know, like, even, like, what's, to me, one of his worst stretches is what? His, when he first comes back in 07, right? He's feuding with JBL and all that crap. Like, that's so short-lived, and he gets through it fast. And even those are passable. You know, he's cringy at times in, is it maybe mid-01? Like, before he goes heel at the end of 01? It's always right when he's about to expire as a babyface is when he...
I would also put his
12, 13. When does he come back with the when he fights Bray and all that shit? Is that 14?
Well, that's awful. That's 14.
Yeah.
I would also put his heel run from 02 to 04. I hated his heel run in that period.
See, I don't mind it. I don't detract from that. I liked him and Christian as a team.
I thought Christian, he was a good. So.
Yeah, no. I thought he was a good stalwart during that period. I don't dock him for that at all. His worst stuff to me is that blip in 01. His comeback in 07, and then whatever, the 13-14 stretch. Because 13, he's got the Fandango shit, right? What else does he have that year, anything?
Is that where he fights Dolph at SummerSlam?
Well, first he comes back. When's his first comeback? 12, when he does the silent Rumble thing? Is
yeah, that 12? That's 12. And then he comes back at the Rumble the next year, doesn't he? Or is that at 14? Where he comes in at number 2 and lasts till the end.
Is that 14? Is that
Dolph?
That's not 14. 14 is Pittsburgh. That wasn't that one.
Yeah.
So it's
13.
Be.
So 13. Yeah.
No, because yeah, 13 is who wins that one? That's Cena, right?
Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the unnecessary rematch.
Right. So anyway, I would say his – because at 12, he's still good, right? He comes back and he's kind of disappointing with the quiet stuff. But is that when he fights Punk?
Yeah, and the Punk stuff's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I would say the storyline was a bit strange, and right. I don't know why they did it the way they did, but the two matches they have on pay-per-view are great.
Right.
Yeah, even in 01, what you're talking about, like, are you talking about in the summer of 01?
Oh, yeah, because he's fine. He's just, to me, he's just...
a great year for him, actually.
No, it is, but his character-wise, like, was kind of getting annoying to me, like, in 01. Like, he's almost too comedic and over the top, and he needed to get serious, and he does. In later 01, he gets serious and becomes awesome.
Yeah.
And I do think he... I mean, I don't dock him at all for early 02, like, with the fucking dog and...
That's
and
not like,
none of that is on him. and then mid-02, when he becomes, like, the anti-internet guy... with everyone gave him shit for his match with RVD, and he goes online. Like, he's a little kind of grating at that point. So I'll give you some of that. But no, I mean, his lows. So anyway, the whole point is his lows are not that low, and his highs are very high with everything. And in his most recent run with the List of Jericho just puts him even higher. For him to come back at that point and, you know, catch all the shit he caught with the AJ feud, which those matches were fine. And then Owen stuff that everyone at first was kind of like, oh, they're just going to team and then split. And they end up having this long run as a team and, you know, end up having a fun feud after it. The turn is very memorable. So, I mean, he just kept reinventing himself. And his 08 stuff is immaculate with the Nick Bockwinkel heel run. Versus Sean, him against Batista, him with Big Show. Like, Jericho Show is just great.
09 with Ray, like we just talked about.
All that stuff.
And now he's, like, doing some of the best matches of his career in Japan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think all time in the world he's high, you know. Not top 20 because it's more to look at, but
no,
he's on a list at this point. You know, whatever list you're making, he's probably on it.
You might, maybe top 50.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of saying that, but, like, I don't think it'd be absurd for him to be top 50.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. We had him at the same place, 16.
Yeah. All right. All right. Why don't we do number 15 and then, that was 16. All right. Let's do two more. How about that? Let's get through, or do you want to get through 15 or do you want to save 15 for next time?
Let's just, you know, you're overthinking this. Just start doing the people and we'll see how it goes.
Oh, such a jerk. Okay.
I'm the jerk.
Our number 16. Yeah. I'm just trying to do something.
Well, don't you know that when we were friends back in the day?
Oh, God. All right. Number 16 is The Undertaker. You had him at 15. I had him at 20. So I had him a little bit lower. And again, I think this speaks to our overall dichotomy in our voting where I do kind of dock for the crap. I think there are people that actually considered him potentially at one. And I should mention, by the way, Jericho finished at 10. He had 116 ballots. He had a high vote of one. Low of 64. So a lot of respect again for Jericho. Undertaker had a high vote of one as well, a low of 80, and he's on all 118 ballots. So even Will ranked him, huh?
Wow. I think he put him at like 50 or something. And
yeah, you're right.
That was kind of his thing. I listened to a lot of Will podcasts. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of them, and it was good.
Sure was. Here you go. Will from Texas. Let's see. Where did he have Undertaker? You can talk for a second if you want, so we don't have awkward silence.
Sure, yeah. The argument that he would be number one was another one of those ones that, like, I saw a lot of people saying, Taker's my number one.
He had him at 52, Will. So
52, not bad. Yeah, Taker at number one, again, felt like, okay, but there's just, you're ignoring so much shit. If you're putting him at number one, like, I don't know how you justify it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even start having his greatest matches till arguably like 06, you know. Like, he starts having good stuff. Like, you know, he trends upward when you start in 96, 97, 98, you know.
And like, he's just trending up from like zero, though.
Correct, right. So he's coming, he's on the come up, but his best work is from 06 to what, 11?
Yeah. 10.
Maybe even say 13. I mean, the Punk match is real good. I mean, that's probably the end of him.
But
as a good
Punk match, well, not as a good. Like, I mean, like, depends what you Brock think of that stuff. Lesnar feud. That Lesnar feud's interesting. Like, obviously not the WrestleMania one. The moment's amazing. But the one they have in 15, those are pretty damn good matches.
All right, so I'd say his peak ends in like 11-ish. And then he's got some coda on there. Like, he's sinking, but he's got some blips set of good. But as a top worker, 06 to 10 feels right. 10, 11.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the back end of his 10 is rough.
Is that the Kane feud?
It's the Kane feud. Yeah,
that's brutal.
Yeah, so, I mean.
So what would you say? Maybe No Way Out 06 or WrestleMania 26 is probably like his peak run?
That seems to make sense. A nice 4-year period where he could be counted on to have the best match at WrestleMania. And like, even though he has an awesome match with Mark Henry. Can I just say that off the bat? Him and Mark Henry, right?
Every Mark 22. Henry match is awesome.
Greatest match of all time.
Agreed. Yeah, they're all great.
You should say that too. You especially, because I don't want you pegged as someone who doesn't like Mark Henry.
I love Mark Henry. I would have had him higher if I could have.
Would you? Okay. Would you marry Mark Henry?
Yes.
Or just live with him.
I would let him impregnate me.
Yes, you should. And you could give birth to whatever it is he put inside you.
Mm-hmm. No matter what.
No matter what.
I would let him breed me.
Mark Henry would be a great breeder. He's got such good taste.
All right, Undertaker. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we covered him so much when we did the Making the Cut. It's like, I feel like we're going to get to, because we covered a lot of these guys that we're getting to. So it's like, how much can you say?
It's like a year ago, though.
True.
People have forgotten what we think about him.
Well, go back and listen. I can't have him higher. Like, all right, maybe could have been higher than Ray and Eddie. Fine. I just don't think they have the lows that he has. I mean, guy's got multiple duds in big spots. And again, I know you got to draw the line of character that he was working in and the guys he was working with. I mean, if you look at who he's paired with through a lot of that stretch, it's not promising. But he had spots where he bombed too, like Brett at the 96 Rumble is one of them. You know, that match is just fucking boring as hell. And then, you know, he's actively bad through most of 98 after like 14. Like, he gets a lot of big shots. And yeah, he's got the Hell in a Cell, but I mean, is that really a match?
He's right. Just throwing a man off a cage.
Yeah, so.
What do you think of the SummerSlam main event?
98? It's very good. It's not great. I think it's been proven to be just very good.
People shit on it, but I actually quite think it's quite good. I wouldn't go four or anything, but like.
Yeah, like 3 3/4 maybe, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Maybe like, yeah, around that. Yeah.
Great build. I think it's overrated because for him at the time, you hadn't had many like that with him. Like, it was such a, okay, he's finally getting this run. He's a face against face. He's getting the Hogan Warrior treatment. Like, it felt like a big deal at the time, and he delivered a very good match, which he didn't have a ton of. You know, 96, he's got the Diesel match, and then all the Mankind matches are good. But he's just got, when you look at all the bad he had, and then even his 04 sucks. His 2000, like, he has the good, moment at Judgment Day, but other than that, nothing. Most 01.
Are we allowed to hate on his Mabel matches, or should we also praise Mabel?
The Mabel matches are terrible. 2000 is bad. His 01, no good until he turns heel. You know, he's got a pretty solid half 02. So it's like, you know, it's so much up and down, up and down, up and down, where he's got so much good stuff. Like, you can't keep him out of the top 20 because he's got so many 5-star matches and top level matches. You got to keep him up there. And his character's iconic. His promos got good. Like, he's got all of it. But it's the bad that, to me, drags him toward the back end of the top half or the top quarter.
Yeah. And see, for me, like, it's his presence and aura and main event status that pull him ahead of the Rey Mysterios, the Guerreros.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to put them side by side, and Undertaker feels like an all-timer, and I don't know if Rey does right away.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dig to find what Rey is.
Right. And but I think you can dig and discredit Undertaker too, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, I think if you dig more in Undertaker, it dings him. But I think that those things, in the end, I love work rate. I think watching awesome matches are great and whatnot, but like, you'll so rarely get such an enduring character as The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And for so long. Like, it just worked forever.
No, I agree. All right. Do you want to do number 15?
Sure. Let's argue about 15.
Okay. And then we'll stop there for tonight. All right. And that is Daniel Bryan. I have him at 13. You had him at 17. Fuck. Daniel Bryan. So,
he sucks.
Owen Hart, if he peaked.
Yeah.
Would you give me that?
Oh, yeah. I think he's better than Owen Hart at almost everything.
Right. So Owen Hart, if he peaked, right?
But like.
Or did Owen Hart max out? Did he max out to you? So maybe not. Maybe Owen Hart peaked.
Close.
Would you maybe say he's the evolutionary Owen Hart? Like, he took all of Owen's stuff and just took it up a notch?
I think if Owen had better, Owen probably would have thrived in an environment similar to what Daniel Bryan had.
Right.
Whereas like Owen had like Brett to wrestle and later Sean.
1-2-3 then, kid.
Yeah, but they didn't do that often. When they did, it was good. Whereas Daniel Bryan had a lot more good workers around him to work and bring more out of him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Bryan excels. I mean, He had a lot of really good stuff, but he excels in his Team Hell No on when the crowd really took him on that ride. A lot like Eddie to me, when the crowd started to pick up Eddie, like in late 03, and just ride the wave. That's what happened with Daniel Bryan. Obviously, just one of a kind, like we've never seen in the company, like what happened in 13 and 14.
Yeah.
Obviously hurt. If he doesn't get hurt in 14 and have to give that belt up and have everything that happened with him in 14 and 15, I think we're probably talking top 10, right? I mean, if he just give him from 14 till now and say he retires now, like we're probably talking that, right?
Yeah.
Inside the top 10.
He's an interesting one because I think you could maybe make the argument, and we'll never know, but you could maybe make the argument that like he could never be better or he would never have a better peak than winning that title because so much of it was in him being the underdog.
Right. But did he need more than that peak? Like if that's his peak and then he has a lot of other great matches now to pad the resume, you know, like, is that enough?
Yeah, it might be. And you know what? In a few years, we might have that, right, depending on how it goes. But what I mean is that, like, I don't know if he had the potential to be the transcendent star that some other people in that position would have been.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about him next time. But like, a guy like Punk, you know, that push goes a different way when he gets big. We could be talking about a transcendent guy.
Right.
I don't know if Bryan had that potential. I think some of his shtick did, like the Yes thing did. And he had the – I think he's probably – if he doesn't get hurt, he's probably the top babyface in that company for the last 5 years or whatever.
Right.
But I just don't know if he's – if he had the toolbox to be that next level guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that's a knock. I still have him high.
Right. I mean, he's pretty high up there as far as wrestling ability. Like, top three, four, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, of all time for them?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what you – yeah, I mean, it depends on what you factor in. You could be as high as one. You could be as low as, like, five, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, but,
yeah.
Like, some people would probably argue Michaels is better work rate, but then some people would scream at you for even uttering that opinion, right? So.
Right. Yeah, but I think Brian's pretty universally agreed upon.
Yeah.
And it sucks that he also, you know, we regret the missing this last few, but what if they would have actually used him to his potential from whenever it was that he showed up 10 to 12, like those extra 3 years that they could have had from him? Because I think by 11, right? So once he gets the Money in the Bank is when it kind of amps up for him and he gets the Punk series in 12 and all that stuff. So, I mean, you know, his push. People pretend it didn't start till 13, but
no, it's consistent.
I mean, he's consistently a top guy in starting at 11. I mean, you know, and I love that three-way at the Rumble with Mark Henry and Big Show.
Great.
The cash in on Big Show is great. Team Hell No is great.
Sheamus match after at Extreme Rules 12.
Fantastic. All the Punk matches. So like all that stuff is great. So he's got the resume. He's got really
John Cena.
Yes. The Cena match.
Is that Bryan's best match?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's Cena's best. Like,
fuck him. Well, I don't know that or the Triple H match. I think they're both 5 stars.
At WrestleMania, yeah. It's definitely Triple H's best singles match.
Right. So they're close.
Question for you.
Yeah.
What's better, Triple H Bryan or Bret Hart Owen Hart?
So anyway, Daniel Bryan, I think is.
I'd put Bryan Triple H.
I'm not having that debate again. We've been through that debate when we did our List of Mania bullshit.
Oh, did we? I don't even remember.
Yeah, that was the whole argument. Remember, I finished ahead and we fucking started a hailstorm of nonsense. We had it ahead of Bret Owen in that List of Mania thing we did.
Were you on Bret Owen? I forget.
No, I think I don't remember. I don't want to get into it. They're close. They're probably tied, but Triple H Bryan, I think, had more emotion, so it may tick it higher.
Just sophisticated choices, Triple H Bryan.
If you like to look at nuance, if you want to just pretend, you can put aside your Triple H hate for a minute and look at the nuance of it. But yeah, so anyway, like very little bad, if any. And a guy, too, that had a lot. I mean, think of all those double duty TVs they had him do, right? I mean, just like there were so many weeks where he'd be wrestling one, two, maybe sometimes three times a night on Raw. And like everything was good. And he's so believable. And the crowd was just so into him on a level that we hadn't seen in forever. I mean, I made this comp at the time, and I think in 13 they were really thinking he would be the Foley. right, of the whole scenario to the Batista-Orton feud. That was kind of the Rock-Austin feud in my mind. I thought he'd be kind of the lovable loser that gets the title reign in the winter and then phases, and the crowd has forced him into the position. And then it backfired because he almost died right after. But, I can't think of much bad, and I think he's easily one of the top guys I've ever had, which is crazy because when he debuted, I think people probably thought he was, you know, making the wrong decision. He'd never be used right. And to actually finish as a top 15 WFE wrestler of all time is like a massive overachievement.
Yeah. But he's also treated as a big deal right from the start too.
Right.
Even like with his big return at SummerSlam 10, he wins a US title fairly soon after that. Like, he's never really treated as nothing.
I agree. He isn't. He's pushed pretty high. I think it's just that one stretch in, is it 11, early 11, late 10, where he's kind of in the U.S. title thing with Barrett and all that. Like, I mean, he's, you know, he's respected, but he's doing the love story with Gail Kim and all that shit. So, like, there is that time, but whatever. I mean, that's everyone's come up time, right? I mean, that's, other than AJ Styles, like, or Kurt Angle, like, pretty much everyone else has that period of
a little low.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, like, and at the time, too, he hadn't really – I mean, the fans were behind him, but he hadn't really shown that he was going to be like this
right.
transcendent guy yet, right? So I can understand the hesitancy of pushing this smaller technical guy, even though they had the template with Bret Hart for years.
Right, and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. And Punk at the time, I guess, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I still don't think they – yeah, for whatever reason, they didn't see it in him, but you know what? He ended up being everything they could have hoped for, and then they shit on him until he fell apart. So anyway, all right. So there's our top whatever-ish. We got 14 to go, Aaron. So we'll save that for the next episode. We're almost there. Yeah. One more to go. I think we'll get this done the next time. Our top 14 guys. So I think you could probably figure out who those 14 are. Are they all pretty much 14 or higher on our list? No. Our next guy is 15.
Yeah. But which is crazy that you... It's crazy that you had him there.
Yeah. So we'll
there's tease your that. There's your tease. Yeah.
Yeah. I also tease that our top four are all the same.
Yeah, I know. And then even like our 5, 6, 7 are all like kind of variations.
Right. From here on out, I think we at least have the same, almost the same 15-ish. Like I had Brian higher, and well, you had the other guy.
Our top 20 is exactly the same.
Right, just in different order.
21 actually, because Andre was the same.
Right.
Because this is us, and this is what happens.
Hopefully we don't die in a fire. So, all right, let's wrap things up. Sorry, spoiler.
Is that what happens? I haven't seen that far.
Sorry. No, he doesn't die in the fire. He is dead, though, as you know. You should know that at least.
Who's dead? The guy from Black Panther?
Creed?
Creed? Apollo Creed? When does Apollo Creed die?
No, Creed's son. Wasn't he a Black Panther?
Yeah, he was. He's the villain. Okay. But I'm talking about the other guy. The guy who was on OJ. Not OJ.
Cuba
Gooding? The other one. Not OJ! God damn it! Not OJ! The one who plays the lawyer.
That was OJ. The lawyer and this is us?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm glad we've come. What's happening? Who dies in a fire? Did Bam Bam Bigelow die in a fire?
No, but Frankie did. The bird.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously.
All right, let's do it. We'll wrap things up. We'll be back one more time, and then we'll start talking tag teams. We're not going away, but we're almost done with this list. We'll do it soon, I promise.